I'm Anna.
And I'm Jillian.
And this
is the Hat Picks Podcast.
Just two dope ladies talking about soccer from across the country on the podcast no one asked for.
Welcome, everyone, to the pod of pods. The poddiest of pods.
The most pod of all the pods that ever podded.
We're so glad you're here for episode 8. Wow. Can you believe? As Jonathan Van Ness would say, can you believe?
We love them. We love Jonathan Van Ness.
The best. We are here recording our first episode of the new year, 2021.
We made it. Hasn't been great, but we did it.
We are here and ready to pod with you into what we hope is a better year. But I'm actually not holding my breath since there was an attempted coup yesterday. So
so we'll move into our hat picks that are much more joyful.
Yes. Great.
Because we need a little bit of joy. All right. I'm just going to start with me because I'm number three. Because, again, it's our podcast. We do what we want. So we're doing things yet again a little bit differently.
Yes. Here. Today we have – because today we have a special guest for you. We only have 3 hat picks, each have one, and a shared number one, which we've done before, to be fair.
But it's just different every time. There's nothing consistent. We're consistently inconsistent, I guess. Anyway, my number 3 hat pick is Marta and Tony Presley's engagement. A joy, truly.
Woohoo!
Does this hat pick have anything to do with any of the incredible soccer games that have been played over the last month? No, not one bit. It does not. Do I care? No, not one bit. I love gay soccer love stories. Okay?
Who doesn't?
Idiots. That's who. They are one of my favorite things. I watched Bend It Like Beckham at a young age, and I was questioning my own sexuality, and I was, and still am, angry that it is not a queer love story. And you know what, listener? Dear, dear listener, you should be angry too.
Okay, just as a quick aside, I also love this movie. I also love Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, so like, don't stick your tongue out at me. I still think that the storyline would have gone well with Anna's ending as well. I support that 100%. But we watched this with my husband and my housemate, and I all watched this the other night, and my housemate was like, oh my gosh, I'm like so impressed with how many topics they covered in this movie in like 2002. It's just a great quality film. You should definitely watch it.
Just know that it's not a queer love story, even though you want it to be.
Choose your own ending.
Yeah. And you know, we've seen so many incredible queer women in soccer. To see two queer women in soccer fall in love with each other rather than someone outside of the sport, you know, it's a damn delight. It is just
a GD delight.
A GD delight. We love love. Anyway, we are gathered here today to discuss the newest women's soccer engagement, and that's with Marta and Tony Presley. All right.
Did you mean to do that?
Yeah, of course I did.
Ooh, I'm dying. I didn't read this ahead of time, so I'm just cracking up. Please continue. This
I'm
is
glad,
so wholesome.
I'm glad that you think that I'm that funny, because I was writing this, and I was like, this is so good.
I'm glad you think I'm funny, because I know I'm funny.
Yeah, what you said. Anyway, Marta is legitimately one of, if not the best player the women's game has ever seen.
She has one name.
Yeah. I mean, I know that we've talked about a lot of incredible players on the podcast already, but she's the GOAT. She comes from Brazil, a country known for providing the world with amazing soccer players. Her knowledge of the game is unparalleled. Her footwork is unbelievable. Her vision on the field is frequently leaps and bounds ahead of her teammates. She's one of those players that other players are in awe of, and that's for good reason. If you talk to a lot of the top players in the world right now, a lot of them will say that Marta is their favorite player. And it's for good reason. Now, the other half of this love duo is Tony Presley. She's an American soccer player who's been playing in the NWSL since 2012. She played for the Western New York Flash, which is now a defunct team. She played for the Washington Spirit. but most notably and recently, and where the love story began, the Orlando Pride. Presley came kind of into a greater spotlight in 2019 when she announced that she had been diagnosed with breast cancer. She did treatment and is now in remission, which is wonderful. And she's continued to play with the Pride. And actually, they just announced yesterday or today that they renewed her contract for like another 2 or 3 years.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so that's super dope. So as I mentioned, these two met while playing for the Orlando Pride, where they are and continue to be teammates. They fell in love. They got dogs together. Their dogs have their own Instagram.
Oh my God. Queens.
Yeah. It's iconic. And now they're getting married. It's adorable. We love it. The Orlando Pride now have Allie Krieger and Ashlyn Harris, who married at the end of 2019, I think. And now we have Marta and Tony Presley. The queers are taking over the team. And I love it. And you love it. And you love to see it.
You do. You do. I do. We do. Everyone should yeah. love to see it. And you love love. And it's just so nice to see. It's just so great.
Yeah. It's a very short and succinct hat pick. Because really, what more do you have to say besides we love love? We also love queer women of color getting representation. And so it's just all around perfect.
Snaps for Tony and Marta. We love it. We love it. Anna was like, can this be my hat pick?
I do check in with you a lot and I'm like, can I do this? Can this yeah. be a hat pick? And every Definitely. Time you're like, do whatever you want.
Yes, please. Well, I also think it's just nice to, you know, we're talking about women's soccer and I would say that this solidly falls in the women's soccer category. So
they're both women. They both play soccer.
Boom. Crushed it.
Did it.
Check. Love that. So happy for them. I mean, what a year.
Yeah. What a year for the queers.
You know, with Megan Rapinoe and Sue Bird getting engaged.
So good.
All right. We are moving on from this great, wonderful, wholesome, loving number three hat pick into my number two, which is...
actual soccer.
My number two hat pick is Princess Ebini's brace in the Sydney FC versus Western Sydney, aka the Sydney Derby, which was on December 30th, 2020.
Oh my God, last year. Go crazy.
I know. So first and foremost, this is the coolest name. Step aside, Ebony Salmon. Oh my God. Princess Ebini. I'm just kidding. Obviously, they both have amazing names and we will celebrate them and it will be great. Queens. Yes. Yes.
But also
Princess Ebini. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I just, it's amazing.
So good.
So, as you know, the NWSL off season, WSL on break until this weekend. Mm. And where do we find ourselves?
Do it.
Australia, mate. We have gotten some of our picks this week from the Westfield W League, which is down under. I can't help it. I really can't.
No.
One of my funniest memories with Anna is us, like, trying to do the thing where if you say rise up lights, it sounds like you're saying razor blades with an Australian accent. Rise up lights.
We did it for too long.
It was, like, a long time, and then it just sounds like gibberish. Anyway, so I enjoy doing an accent, as we all know and love. These Australia jokes certainly will not stop, especially since we're just in the beginning of the season. So we have a derby for you to kick off the season. Which, again, spelled derby, pronounced darby. What the actual fuck? I don't know. I mean, it's there, but it's
fine. Blame England. They're the ones who started it.
And then they kind of made Australia because of colonization.
Love that. No, I don't.
I'm always bringing up bummer topics on the pod. Sorry. So we have Sydney FC, and they're also called the Sky Blues, which is not to be confused with Sky Blue FC, which is an NWSL. Versus the Western Sydney Wanderers, who have home field advantage, which a lot of good that did them. Spoilers. So Sydney FC scores in the first half, which is nice, blah, 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 blah. We are here to talk about Princess Ebini. This was not her brace. So we're going to skip to the second half where all the good action happens. So in the 60th minute, Teresa Pelias. I think that's, I'm pretty sure that's how you say it, but they say it with an Australian accent. So it's like, Pelias. I don't know. Okay. Teresa Pelias gets the ball in the central midfield area and finds Princess Ebini just outside the 18 on the left side of the pitch. And she gets the ball and is dribbling it pretty much with one foot. Watch the highlights. around the Wanderer's defender. Do we just call them Wanderers? She got around the defender, the Wanderer, and takes a sharp shot and pounds it perfectly into the upper right 90. My favorite thing is that the announcer said it was the finish of a queen, not a princess. And oh my God, was he right?
The only puns I accept are soccer puns. Everything else is garbage.
It was great. It was perfect. So, goal number one, great job, Princess Ebini. You are crushing. In the 86th minute, we're getting down towards the end of the match. Toby slots a no-look through pass, which was so funny. I didn't even catch it the first time I saw it, but, like, it's she just passes it without looking, which is so badass.
I love that.
And she does it past two Wanderers to Princess Ebini in the box. And she shoots it right past the goalie into the upper left-hand corner. And this is on her first touch. Like, she gets the pass and boom, gets it into the upper left corner. And it's just amazing. She's got these amazing lofted balls in this game. What a brace. What a brace. Mwah,
mwah. Beautiful. Chef's kiss.
Gross. So, great. This is the pick. But I want to just give a little background on Princess Ebini. So not only does she have a stellar name, a stellar right foot, she is only 20 years old. Oh, 20. God. These babies, I tell you, I just.
Babies.
I can't. Even more stellar thing, I would say, is that she started to train with Sydney FC when she was 12. 12.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
Nope.
All I was doing at age 12 was not that.
I was quitting playing the piano.
I was looking weird and not playing professionally, I'll tell you. That's just amazing. And it was, yeah. Wow. Just all the wows.
Wow, 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 wow. Wow.
Wow. So she then trained with the Matildas for the first time at age 15. Also, holy God. And made her first appearance for the senior national team at 17. And so she's made about, I think I looked it up, maybe around six appearances with the national team. And I am just like, I'm sitting over here praying to whatever. You should join me. Pray whatever to whatever deity.
Pray, yeah.
We're both praying right now. To whatever deity you believe in. That she makes the World Cup squad because she is such a glimmering light of potential. Oh my gosh. Like, wow. I was just so impressed with her. And I'm going to be honest. I really haven't watched much Australian soccer. And I definitely haven't watched it just like the professional stuff. I've watched like the international team. But this was really great. And I think that she has so much potential being 20 years old. Oh my God. So.
Yeah. Realistically, she's only going to get better from here, which is bonkers.
The announcers were talking about how she was just hard to keep a hold of on the game. I mean, was just on fire.
She's able to get around players with such ease.
Yes, that's the thing. When I was watching her make her first goal with the one-footed like cutting that she was doing, she looked like she was exerting no effort. It was just like, this is what I must do to score. I will do it. Not like, I'm in the midst of a high-pressure professional game. It was, wow.
It's like she's floating.
So cool. So dope. All right, well, that's my number two. You go, Princess Ebini. Oh, my gosh.
Get it, girl.
Yes.
So since we can't not do an honorable mention, we have an honorable mention.
Our only consistency.
Is that we do honorable mentions. So our honorable mention this time is... The U.S. Women's National Team is going to be back in camp in January.
Yay!
We're so excited. God damn it.
Oh, God.
Anyway. U.S. Women's National Team is back in camp in January, all with the intention to play two friendlies against Colombia in Orlando, which is even more exciting. I don't love that I did see that you can purchase tickets, so I don't love that, U.S. Mm-mm. Soccer.
Be safe.
Still pandemic, but... Maybe don't invite people and still play the game.
Yes, that.
Yeah, so the roster has a lot of familiar faces. We're not going to go through all of them, but we are going to mention a few just because they're familiar names that we haven't seen recently or names that we have seen recently and we're excited to see back.
Yes.
You know, we're just going to
– it's we're going to do what we want.
Yeah, because it's our podcast. I don't know if you heard us talk about it before. It's our podcast.
It's ours.
We do what we want. First, in terms of familiar faces that we're seeing back, are Ashlyn Harris and Allie Krieger. They were out of the last camp for whatever reason. They wanted to rest. They wanted to chill. Doesn't matter. They're back, and I'm excited for it.
Woo! All right. Now, in the midfield, many familiar faces, people who were at the last camp, but we have the return of the great Horan, Lindsay Horan, back from COVID. Hell yes! Yes! Oh, my gosh. So pumped.
You love to see it.
Love it. So we also have Katarina Macario, who still cannot play in a match, but is in camps. And having her come in shows a real investment from Vladko and Danofsky in her being a part of this team moving forward, which is really, really cool. So glad to see her being a part of this and training with his team and becoming a part of the squad. We have Christy Mewis, who notably scored a goal in the game against the Netherlands, which is amazing after her return from not playing with the national team for like 6 years. So glad to see her back on the squad. Hopefully she is like really making a name for herself and kind of earning her spot on the squad. And then finally, Andy Sullivan, not somebody we really mentioned much, but just wanted to bring her up because she plays for the Washington Spirit, got knocked out of the Challenge Cup, I believe, some tournament. She had a pretty bad injury, like we think meniscus, knee, something or other. Is a really solid player, has been called up to national team before, I think was called up for Olympic qualifying last year. Is a solid player. So good to see her up here.
She's got a lot of midfield qualities that Tobin Heath has or had at that age. So excited to see her back.
Yeah.
And then up top, our forwards, we have a very familiar face. Carly Lloyd is back, which...
cool, I guess.
Good for her. That's good for her, but I don't particularly care a whole lot. Mal Pugh is back, which is exciting because she's been out with injury as well as just potentially not being called up because she didn't have a great season with Sky Blue before she got injured.
I'm pretty sure she played a game in the fall series. Did she even play in the Challenge Cup?
I don't remember. It was just her 2020 was overall not memorable, and whether that was because of injury or other things, she didn't have a good year. So it's nice to see her back because she is a good player. She's really great up top for this team. So it's nice to see her back. I'm also very intrigued to see her up there with Sophia Smith and Lynn Williams. And then the star of this team right now, Megan Rapinoe, is back, which is so exciting. She was injured. She took a lot of the summer off to spend time in the Wubble, which was the bubble for the WNBA players. That's what they called it. I didn't call it that. They called it that. So now I call it that. Leave me alone.
I'm making a face, but
good thing nobody can see it. So Megan Rapinoe's back. I'm interested to see where her like fitness level is because she hasn't played in a long, long time. And I mean, obviously she's one of the top athletes in the world. So she's kept herself in shape, but like.
Much excite.
Yeah. Much excite.
Yes.
I don't know where I became from in that, but much excited. Anyway.
So there are some people that are notably missing from this who were in the last round. I think the hardest for us to say is that the baby horse has the COVID.
So disappointing.
It's just really disappointing because she traveled on Christmas and I just kind of feel like, a little, I have some feelings.
It's karma.
It's just upsetting.
It's just not great. So baby horse Alex Morgan is out, and that is very sad all around. Mm-hmm. I mean, we hope you get healthy, but
yes, also, of course. Also, fun fact, she is not playing with Tottenham anymore.
She left at the end of the year. Although two of her Orlando teammates, Shalina Zdorsky and Alana Kennedy, both signed longer-term contracts to stay with Tottenham till the end of the season rather than coming back to the NWSL.
Interesting.
And that happened in the last couple of days. I'm not saying that it has anything to do with the shitstorm that is this country, but it could. It could.
A little bit.
Because neither of those players are American. Shalina Zdorsky is Canadian, and Alana Kennedy is Australian.
Yes.
Yeah. So the other two people that are notably out that we talk about all the ding dang time are Tobin Heath and Kristen Press. Tobin Heath is just staying with Manu. I don't think she wants to risk flying back to the United States. And Kristen Press was sick, not with COVID, at the end of 2020, missed the last few games with Manchester United, and is just getting back to full health and is doing that with Man U. Also, I'm sure doesn't want to risk getting COVID by getting on a fart tube, also known as an airplane. I'm pretty sure I stole that from my wife, who I think they called it a fart tube recently. I can't say that I own that, but it feels right though, doesn't it?
Can you ask them if it's okay if we name this episode Fart Tube?
Yeah.
Don't get on a fart tube.
Alex Morgan
got on a fart tube. That's it.
That's the title.
That's going to be so misleading for people, because it's, not that the rest of our titles aren't also misleading, because they 100% are.
Mm-hmm. I'll be fine. Yeah, I'll ask them. Mm-hmm.
Merry Slogmas.
Our number one hat pick.
All right, folks. Here's the content you've been waiting for. Our number one hat pick this week is Michelle Heyman kicking ass in her return to Canberra United in the Westfield W League.
Hell yeah. And before we get into Michelle Heyman's general badassery, a little information about her, since we literally never mentioned her on this podcast. And that is for good reason. She is 32 years old, has been playing professional soccer since 2008. She started with Sydney FC, and she spent most of her career playing for Canberra United, which is where she plays now. So she played with the Matildas for the better part of a decade before she decided to retire in 2019.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is where Heyman's badassery comes into play.
I prefer to pronounce it badassery.
That should be the alternate title for this podcast.
B-apostrophe.
Yeah, I like that. So Michelle Heyman took a year off, which I don't think she intended to be a year off. She rested her body, which had been kind of riddled with injuries over the course of her decade-long career. And then on Instagram, she announced that she was coming back. Such excite. She signed with Canberra United for the 2020 season, and boy, did she come back.
Boy, howdy.
Boy, howdy. I think she's also hoping to make a Matildas comeback, which would be dope.
Dope.
There have only been two games, actually. That's a lie. As of today, there have been three games, but whatever. We're only talking about two because Canberra tied today. We're not going to talk about that game.
Not important.
The other ones. So Michelle Heyman started in both of the Canberra United games. And not only did she start, she also scored in both games.
Wow. Wow. All right. So first game of the season for Canberra was against, I'm going to try to do it in an accent, but I don't think I, Adelaide.
Perfect.
Adelaide United.
It's incredible. You have to keep it. You can't go back.
Okay, so as a half, Canberra was down 2-0, and to be quite honest, it was looking like a pretty clear victory for Adelaide. Definitely thought that they were going to win that, pull that W out. Mm-hmm. Not so fast. So Canberra, and specifically Heyman, had a lot of opportunities. They just did not come to fruition. Then we go to the second half where all the action happens. So just 3 minutes into the half, Heyman scores. Wow, so cool. So Demi Koulizakis has the ball just past the midfield with her back towards the goal that her team is attempting to score on. Yes, there we go. But she manages to pass it, I don't know, like over and across her body to find Michelle Heyman. Wow. Acrobatics, very cool. Well done.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So with this few simple touches, Heyman outpaces the Adelaide defender, and not as cool as saying a wanderer, but we'll allow it. Defender, and just slots the ball past the keeper for Canberra's first goal of the game. Wow, wow, wow. Nicely done.
Beautiful.
Not as many wow, wow, wows as earlier, but we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah.
So, 74th minute, a little into the second half, Michelle Heyman scores again. Wow. So, the lead up to this goal is, for a lack of a better word,
how children, you say?
Ears closed. Earmuffs. a clusterfuck. So, I mean, it truly was. Yeah. So, Heyman calls for the ball just outside the 18, and it's a long lobbed ball. Wow, I am using my hands so much to describe this, and you can't see any of it.
No, it's okay.
From the midfield, and Heyman gets her head on it, and then the header goes out wide for Nicoletta Flannery, who also a very great player, but we're not talking about her.
No, not today.
Who services it back across the front of the goal, and then Heyman gets her head on it, but flicks it away from the goal. Oh my God. So Haley Tyler Young then gets her head on it, and she has it down kind of in front of the left post of the goal. The keeper and Adelaide United defender and Michelle Heyman all go for the ball. And then the keeper, like, done fucks it up and bobbles it. And then Heyman finds it at her feet, and she slides very nicely and kicks the ball and scores. But I will say at the same, she slides and goes down because she's being pulled down by a defender, like literally has her jersey as she's sliding and getting the goal. So she's like being pulled away from the ball while putting her foot out to score. I mean, it was really cool to see. Great job. It's her first game back in who knows how long. And by that, I mean, I believe it's at least a full year. Not really sure why I went Midwestern mom on you there, but here we are. And, you know, she's already got a brace, which is super dope. But you know what? I think Anna's going to let us know that she's not done yet.
Can't stop, won't stop. Then, in stoppage time, Canberra scores another goal by Laura Hughes. And now I would just like to point out that at this point in the game, Adelaide has not scored another goal. It's still 2-2 until this goal by Laura Hughes, which puts Canberra up 3-2 in stoppage time.
Wowzers.
Yeah. Now, you think the game is over, right? Because 3-2 stoppage time, it's going to be over. But no. What happens? Michelle Heyman scores another goal.
Damn, baby.
In the 92nd minute, Haley Taylor Young is coming down the right side of the field with the ball. She gets, like, through an Adelaide player. Not around, but, like, through an Adelaide player. And sends the ball forward around the 18 for Heyman. Well into the 18, headed towards kind of the right side of the goal, the keeper comes out and slides to block whatever shot Heyman is about to, like, attempt. And she slides too soon. And Heyman just slightly chips it over her and scores. It was like... The keeper was like, I'm going to get this. And Michelle Heyman's like, nah, I'm going to wait until after you slide towards me. And then I'm going to shoot the goal. And that is a hat trick for Michelle Heyman after not playing for over 12 months. While that seems like enough of a reason to choose Michelle Heyman as our number one hat pick this episode, huh, dear listener, there is more.
What?
Yeah.
That's me pretending to be you as you're listening in real time.
Because we know that you are shocked. But Canberra's second game of the season is against Melbourne City, the reigning W League champions, so that's interesting. The first half of the game was pretty uneventful. There was a yellow card given out, there's some chances for both sides, it wasn't anything crazy. Now, second half, which seems to be the theme of the Australian games, Princess Ibini had all the action in the second half. Michelle Heyman in this first game, second half. This second game, second half. Anyway.
They're all about that second half action. I'm done. For now.
I'm really sorry if anybody that is Australian or knows an Australian is listening.
I do it out of respect and love. Not respect, I don't know.
Anyway, in the second half, we see a few substitutions, some fresh legs on the field for both teams. So I really think that a lot of these teams are second half teams. They get the substitutions in, and then that kind of like reinvigorates them. And they're like, oh shit, the game's going to end. We need to score. Anyway, the 73rd minute, Michelle Heyman strikes and scores the opening goal for Canberra. That doesn't happen until the 73rd minute, which is a long time in soccer. I guess any time, but whatever. Time's a flat circle, doesn't matter. Anyway, Lauren Keir, Canberra defender, has the ball around midfield and sends it up where it finds Heyman 20 yards out from the goal. Heyman maybe gives the ball a little touch. It's kind of hard to tell because all the W League games have just one angle for the whole game. On the camera, maybe a little touch to settle it, and then from the top of the 18 she shoots the ball and it like curves into the upper right 90. So she's on the left side of the goal when she does this, and the ball just like, you can't see me doing hand gestures either, but here I am doing it. Anyway, the ball curves and is just chef's kiss perfection. So good. Melbourne City does respond in kind. And so they get a goal. And then once again, we see a stoppage time goal from Canberra. And they win the game. That goal is not by Michelle Heyman, so we're really not going to talk about it.
Skip it.
But Michelle Heyman is a veteran player on a relatively young team. I was looking up the roster for this Canberra United team, and they have like 3 or 4 veterans, and everybody else is like
babies,
which is really exciting that they're able to pull out these games with such a young team and only a few veterans.
But also that she's holding her own with like such young players.
Right. I think that with the age that the team is, I think that's going to be really good for the Matildas moving forward too. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Michelle Heyman has a lot of experience. I mean, she's played internationally and professionally for over a decade, and it really shows. She had her year rest, which I think did her body and really her mind a world of good. I think that it, playing professional sports for a really long time can almost be toxic because it's a very goals-oriented.
Oh, get it? God. This goal.
I could do puns too! but she's always been a good striker, and you can almost kind of feel her confidence and her comfort being back on the field. And so I'm really eager to see what she is going to do, what she may do, if she'll be back with the Matildas, especially with Sam Kerr up top as a striker too. I think it'll be good. I'm excited.
It's just neat. I didn't really know a lot about Michelle Heyman before this, so to be able to watch these games and see her, you know, like, it was actually cool because I, like, watched these games before I knew so much of her history, and, like, then to be like, oh, shit, like, wow. It was just really neat, and she's super dope. That's why it is our number one this week.
Yeah, and that's it. We did it. We're done.
Bye. Well, now we've come to the part of our podcast where we normally have a topic, but this week we are so jazzed. So pumped, excited, down to clown, because we have our very first guest on Hat Picks, and we would like to welcome our friend and fellow soccer fan, Sherry Nelson. Welcome, Sherry. Yay! Insert applause. Have you heard my sound effects? Are you, like, totally down with my sound effects?
Yes, I love them. This is what I know about the podcast, is that those are there, and there's so many puns, and I'm going to try my best to live up to this.
It's hard. We understand. It's a lot to live up.
We've set a tier, a level that you have to reach, and if you don't, it's just disappointing.
We're so hospitable. Welcome. Okay, so Sherry is our friend. You remember that weird thing that Anna and I did to meet each other? That weird house that we lived in together? Love you, Deaconess Ann House. Yeah, well, yeah. Sherry did it the year after us. So when Anna still lived in St. Louis for a hot second, we all would hang out. And then now we're actually all in an anti-racism group together. So Sherry, please tell us a little bit about yourself, your history with soccer. How'd you become a fan? Did you play the sport? Just hit us with those facts about yourself.
Okay, well, I grew up playing soccer. I started like a couple years after a bunch of other kids in my class. And fun fact, my mom is super competitive, and she was like, we have to get her caught up to speed. So she found like this local lady who was a soccer coach and is like, you're going to give my daughter one-on-one lessons. So we met in like the city park, and she was like, here's how you dribble, here's how you pass, and all these things. I was in second grade.
Oh my gosh, that's so intense. Also, second grade is like not that late to start playing sport. I know. Like,
it was like your local school little YMCA league sort of, where you had like all the different matching colored t-shirts and, sure, you know, that sort of thing. I think I played into like the first year, like my freshman year of high school. And then I started playing more other sports and stuff. But I didn't really become a big soccer fan until I was going to say last year, but last year's not 2019 anymore.
Hey.
So I guess it's been since that World Cup, I started paying more attention to it, mostly because I wanted something to do at my job while I was just stuffing envelopes and I wanted entertainment.
That's fair.
Good. But I also wanted to be into soccer for a while, but I didn't, because I didn't want to be that stereotypical queer girl who was into it.
You mean
but
me?
The older I get, the less I give a shit, and the more gay I get. So I'm like, well, here we go.
Welcome. Welcome. Yes, that is me.
In good company, Sherry.
Yes. And now I just get my inspiration from soccer from you too.
Oh, you're so sweet. Stop it. Stop. That's awesome. What position did you play?
Oh, I don't even know. It was
all of them.
The ones that you do.
I remember I caught one goal one time and everybody was like, oh my God, you're the coolest human ever. And I was like, guys, it came right to me. It wasn't even that big of a deal. So I did that one time. I think usually I was a defender or midfielder. I was not your forward person. I don't even know the term.
It's one of those things where we all have gifts. Like, no one ever wanted me to be a defender, ever, because we'd just be terrible and lose. You don't need that. So it's good. We all do different things. All right. Well, you want to hit us with that first question?
Okay. So I've got a hard, I would say hard hitter, but remember puns. A hard kicker, if you will.
Oh, slam.
Love it.
So if the Thorns were not a team, they didn't exist, they never existed, the players on the team never existed. I know, we're getting into alternate universe. Who would be your favorite NWSL team?
That's a good one. That's a good question.
Okay, I have my answer.
Okay, do you want to say it together? Even though it won't be together, we can sync it up.
Sure.
Okay. All right.
Chicago.
Wow.
I wanted to do that because I thought you might say that. I didn't want people to think that we planned it.
We didn't know these questions before we got them. So that none of this is – we just are on the same wavelength. Some might say too often, but that's fine.
It's gross. Anyway, Anna, you could say your reasons.
Chicago Red Stars have consistently been one of those teams throughout the NWSL's tenure that – are always very strong. Whether or not they win, whether or not they make it to playoffs or any further, they play hard every game, and the players on that team do well under Rory Dames, who's been the head coach since its inception. And I really respect all of that. They leave it all on the field every time.
What Anna said. But also, they're close to St. Louis. I mean, I definitely agree with what Anna says. I mean, I think they are consistently one of the teams with, like, the most call-ups to the U.S. Women's National Team. They just have a lot of really, really excellent players. Even if they're having hard times, like, they're still able to do well. Like, they are still able to hold their own and do consistently show up in the playoffs and the finals even. They have yet to actually win a final, but mm-hmm. I believe that they will get there one day. And if it were feasible, I would go see a game, but it's not. Because of the world.
Because global pandemic.
Thank you for that question. That was awesome. So, Sherry, actually, which is so funny that you asked us this. Because our next question for you is to tell us who your favorite team is and your favorite player, if you have one.
Great question. I think I took the easy route last time you asked me this, Jillian, and said the OL Reign. Because I became a big Megan Rapinoe fan.
Yes, understandably.
Such good things for representation. So I think I'm sticking with them for now until I can have like a solid answer. But I freaking love Kristen Press. Like, oh my God, she is just an inspiration. And I love a good, what's the word? Alliteration. So I love anytime one of the announcers talks about like, oh, look at Papa Press in the stand. Yeah, but I think she's just so, so absolutely wonderful of a player. So she's my favorite right now.
I have a deep respect for that.
That is such a good answer because we agree that Kristen Press is amazing. Also, Megan Rapinoe, super dope. Yes. Great answers all around. They are.
That you guys would be like, nope.
Wait, let's think. Is there somebody we would have said no to? Carly Lloyd, maybe.
Maybe the one player that we really, really, really don't care about.
I have to say, Kelly O'Hara is on my hit list right now because she didn't stand at the last anthem. Neither did Julie Ernst, but Kelly O'Hara had an awful statement about it. Like, being like, oh, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, basically. And I'm like, we're not in a spot where that should be happening. So,
Yeah, it's frustrating to see. I think we saw some of that over the summer. I remember Anna and I were talking during the Challenge Cup. And I think we read somewhere that, like, did you say her dad is military?
Her dad's in the Air Force. He's a pilot.
But that doesn't also...
It's not a good reason.
It's not an excuse. And it's frustrating to see that from Julie Ertz as well.
Particularly because Julie Ertz had knelt before.
Yeah.
In a very, like, emotional time with Casey Short.
Right.
And then that blew up and became its own thing, but then to then turn around and not is disappointing.
It's just, it's a completely, in my opinion, impossible to deny the realities of what is happening in this country and what's literally been happening since its inception.
Spoiler.
And, you know, even if you're not 100% on board, there is something to be said for acknowledging the pain and the reality of what life is like for somebody else. And
particularly your own teammates.
Yes.
Like people that you are very like close with consistently. Mm-hmm. There's no excuse at that point.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I don't interact with any people of color. I don't interact with black people. I don't have any experience.
But you do.
Players left
right.
and right all the time. So
who are speaking out about this. And
right. There's a whole black women's player collective.
Yeah. Like,
there's no excuse.
And they're literally wearing Black Lives Matter on their jerseys and putting out statements. Like, ignorance is not an excuse at this point. It seems like it's something that they're talking about all the time. And going back to Megan Rapinoe, she's very outspoken about it, along with many of the other players. So
yeah,
it's got to be in her eye all the time.
All right. We're ready. Hit us with our heavy kick, next heavy kicker.
Next heavy kicker. Where does the U.S. national team have the most room for improvement? And I mean women's national team, but I don't need to say that because they're better.
We don't care about the men's.
Go on about the U.S. men's national team and where they have room for improvement. That's another podcast entirely.
No, that's a 2-second conversation. It's literally everywhere.
Right. Team, so. Everything.
Yeah, the whole thing.
I will say that Anna definitely has more of a gift than I do for like sort of on-field analysis. She is.
Do I?
I think so. I think that you're kind of better able to see that stuff than I am. I think that afterwards when talking, I can notice things a little bit more. But I think something interesting, some context to put in like where the U.S. women's national team is as of now. Vladko Andonovski, the coach that took over for Jill Ellis last year, 2019. I don't remember when it was. It was a while ago. Still sort of reforming a team, essentially, after coming off on the heels of a huge World Cup victory in 2019, taking those players, new players, and trying to shape a team for the future, because women's soccer is only growing, it's only expanding, and the U.S. they'll continue to be dominant, but they will probably likely not be as dominant as they have been forever. And so I think continuing to make the bench as like the bench is really deep. Like there's a lot of talent on the bench currently. I would say making sure that going into the future that they have as deep of a bench as they currently have, that the talent continues to be there, that they nurture and grow players sort of at like an equal level on the team, that they are not just like solely focused on superstars, that they work to grow within their system. I don't know. Does that make sense what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Yeah. I see that as a challenge that they need to face into the future as teams continue to get better that they'll face.
Yeah, I think on the field, the biggest place where they have room for improvement is their outside midfielders. Who are they? Can you name who they are? We think of Julie Ertz. We think of Rose Lavelle. We think of Samantha Mewis, who are all center mids. Lindsay Horan, center mid. Who outside? Who's doing that work? Because the way that has been played for most of Jill Ellis' time as the coach, our outside backs kind of acted as wingers and as midfielders. And that will work as long as we have players who are capable of doing that. But as you get other players who do other things on the field, you're going to notice that empty space in the midfield. It's not going to work. And so I think that that's a place that could use some extra attention.
That's a good point.
Well done. See, I told you. I knew that. I knew she'd have an answer.
It's just because I just pay a lot of attention and I don't have any, I didn't have anything else to do for a long time.
So what is something, Sherry, that you would like to see us cover on Hat Picks? Like, you know, we are trying to do like a topic or talk about something in soccer that people might not know about, which I don't think we've actually done yet, but we could. We try to explain things. So like what's something, especially as like a newer soccer fan, like what is something that you would want to see us talk about?
I really enjoy when you guys talk about like the rules and the history. Like it was really interesting when you guys covered the 99 game because I learned so much about how the team hadn't been in existence for very long and things like that. That I think is super interesting. And to know more about like the Federation and like the other workings outside of, because like the soccer games is like the center show sure. that we all love to see and talk about. And like, it's what's most important, but like, there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that goes on too that I think would be interesting to hear about. It might just be me being a nerd though. I don't know if other people would care.
Well, you're one of our top listeners, so we're going to take what you say to heart.
There, you're quite possibly our number one fan.
Yes! I've always wanted to be called a friend of a pod.
No, yes!
You are our friend of the pod.
Yes, definitely. And we appreciate you, and we love you so much for it. Thank you. But I will say, as I've mentioned, I was a history major. So I love covering the history. I love being able to provide background on players when we're talking just at a basic level. But I had a ton of fun doing the 99 game. Like, that was just a blast. I would love to do that again. I don't know what game we'd cover.
I can think of one that I think was wild to watch and also stressful to watch was the game against Brazil.
I was like, she's going to say the Brazil game.
God damn it.
Was that 2011?
I think so.
Yeah. So
that's an iconic
one. Is that the one with the header?
Staples.
Oh my God. Okay.
I want to hear more. Yes, do it.
I think you've just decided on our next historical game, Sherry.
Yes. I also love when you guys talk about just like the NWSL things, because I think people think about the women's national team all the time, but forget about the local stuff. If you could watch soccer anywhere, where would it be?
Specifically the women's game. I will say I have already had a pretty freaking awesome experience. I'm sorry.
No need to brag, Anna.
But it was so good. I blacked out. I did see the USA-France game in Paris in the 2019 Women's World Cup, and it was incredible. I'm really sorry. I'm not trying to brag, but it's just the truth, okay? I'm sorry.
So cool.
Yeah. Well, I will say, I studied abroad in England in 2011, and I did not take advantage of the soccer scene when I was there. So I think that it would be really cool to just watch soccer in England, because like football is so important to the culture, I would say. I would love to go to like one of the London Derby games. Like,
I want to see Arsenal and Chelsea play against each other in a North London Derby.
That would be so cool. But I will say, Anna and I have a dream that will come to fruition, we hope, where we're going to go to the 2023 Women's World Cup, which is going to be held in Australia and New Zealand. And I have to say, that would be so dope too.
Especially because women's soccer in Australia is on the rise with no signs of it slowing down. I mean, we have talked about Australia a little bit in this podcast already. They have a great women's league there that has been, COVID has kind of ruined everything for everyone, but they're still going strong. But even prior to that, they have some Samantha Kerr, incredible players.
Oh my God.
Who are really crushing it.
I want to see Chelsea play back to England just so I can see Kirby play.
Oh my God.
I know. I'm sorry. That was a great question. Thank you, Sherry.
Oh, yeah.
What would you tell someone who's looking to get into women's soccer? And Jillian's note is, besides to listen to Hat Picks, of course.
Well, definitely first listen to Hat Picks. I don't know. Like, don't be intimidated. Just like start watching, figure out like what you like about it, what you want to learn more about. Maybe like just start playing it yourself if you're like a hands-on learner. Yeah, but I don't know. Don't be intimidated by like everything you don't know. There's ways to find it out, like listening to a podcast. Just like be inspired and have fun with it.
Nice. What like a genuine and wholesome answer. Like, you're such a good person.
We just sit here and make the equivalent of fart jokes for an hour.
All right. All right. Now, can I interject and tell a story?
Yeah.
Okay. So, 2019, it's the World Cup. Picture it. Okay. Everybody is posting their poses of Megan Rapinoe, where she has her arms out after her goal, you know. And so I put on my soccer jersey that I got for free because a friend went through a breakup and their ex-girlfriend left it at their house. And I'm like, I'll take that along with this sweatshirt and another one. Anyway, so I do my pose outside of where I work, which is a, let's just say, controversial healthcare provider for female presenting individuals. Well, all, but predominantly. And so I am trying to get Megan Rapinoe to come speak at our annual luncheon fundraiser. So we take this picture and I post it. And somebody from a PR company reached out to me and is like, we want you to be in this Volkswagen ad and you're going to get $500 for it. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm going to be famous for soccer. It's the dream. And so, like, I had to sign this, like, waiver saying that Volkswagen could do what they wanted with the picture. I sent it over to them. I had to, like, tell them who took the picture and decide, like, if I wanted to share the money with her or with me. I'm too good of a person. Now I would probably keep it. But I said, yeah, I got my friend Anisha credit in some of the money. And so then they freaking ghost me because they didn't want to have to do the work to cut out the nonprofit that I worked at.
Oh, wow. How shitty is that?
I know. And then I saw the ad and I was like, oh, it's so cool. It was going to be like in magazines and on social media. Like, dang.
Fuck that.
It was my chance.
Lazy fucks.
Seriously.
Also sexist fucks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jesus. Mm-hmm.
My last question for you all is, if you could spend the day with any current or past soccer player, who would it be and why? I love all the faces you guys are giving.
I'm really glad that we don't visually record this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to say Tobin Heath or should I say Tobin Heath?
I was going to say Tobin Heath for my present player, and then I was going to pick a past player.
Ooh. We'll just pick them from, like, all the different eras. Because I think I have two for different reasons. One is not – they're both present players, but I have two. So one is Tobin Heath because she's an icon. That's – I'm fascinated by the way that she perceives life because she's, like, really chill but also, like, deeply competitive. And I'm just like,
how, yeah.
How can you oscillate between the two?
You hate running, but also you run so good.
Yeah. Explain. But the other one is Megan Rapinoe, and partially because of the activism work she does now, but partially because when she came out, I was also working through me coming out. And so when she came out, and I've been a soccer fan forever, and obviously we've talked about that, but when she came out, I was like, oh, so you, and you can do it. I can do it. We can all be queer together. And so I bought her book and read it and it was great. And she talks about coming out and her thought process behind doing it publicly. But I would love to talk about it more. And also, I guess, partially like thank her for being willing to be publicly out at a time when not a lot of women athletes were doing that. I mean, it took Abby Wambach time after that. And she's a very famous queer sports person. So I think I would also like to, like, discuss that further with her.
That's a good answer. Tobin Heath, for all the reasons Anna listed. Also because I so want to ask her if she hates running.
We've had this theory for a long time.
I don't even remember when I came up with the theory, but I just texted Anna. I was like, I think Tobin Heath hates running.
I feel and like anytime we talk about soccer, you mention it, and I love it.
I'm nothing if not consistent. But I think, and I know that this is, like, very typical, but I really think I would want to meet Mia Hamm. She was, like, my icon growing up. Like, she started, I mean, she joined the national team at, like, age 15 or something and was just such a trailblazer. My favorite story is, I don't even remember if I said this on the last podcast, but my friend and I went to a game in Nashville, and it was before the 2004 Olympics, which was kind of when a bunch of those players from the 99ers, like, retired after those Olympics. And so my friend and I don't even know where the Titans play. It's changed names like a million times, but we got to go and we had pretty good seats. and we stuck around after to get stuff signed. And I had bought this like t-shirt that I still have. And out of everybody in the stadium, Mia handpicked my shirt first to sign, which was like, as a, you know, as like a 13-year-old, 12-year-old, I was just like, holy shit. Like, this is like my total idol. And she was just so special to me, like growing up as like somebody that I looked up to, wanted to be, had her poster. She was the one. And like, especially thinking back to those like Michael Jordan ads, the anything you can do, I can do better. Like feeling like being a woman in a sport or doing anything did not have to stop you. And as a kid, that was like such a powerful message to have. And so I think that I would thank her. I would say, look, I have this t-shirt.
Look at this. You touched it. I touched it. Now we're touching it again.
We're basically the same person.
Essentially. And also, what is it like to be married to somebody who is also very good at their sport?
Yeah.
Because what? Nomar Garcia-Parra?
Nomar Garcia-Parra. Mm-hmm.
Baseball player. Professional baseball player. So I just, it's just interesting. I feel like that would be something, especially since it's not the same sport. Because we have lots of
right
players who are married who are soccer players. Anyway, that's my answer.
I love it.
What about you? Who would you want to meet? Megan Rapinoe?
Oh, I didn't think about it for myself. I want to meet them all.
It's a good, it's any of them are good.
Can I take the whole team as one person?
Yes.
Yes.
We're breaking all the rules.
It's our podcast.
There are no rules. This is a lawless podcast. Do what we want.
Those were such good questions, Sherry. Well, if you have any questions for us or you have questions for Sherry, you can email us at hatpickspod@gmail.com.
Yeah. You can also follow us on Instagram at hatpickspod and on Twitter at hatpickspod.
Cool.
This has been Hat Picks Podcast with Jillian and Anna. And tonight, Sherry.
That's perfect. We don't need hours. She crushed it.